Good morning, everyone. This morning we are in Numbers chapter 22, and we are going to be seeing a story that's going to last several chapters regarding a false prophet called Balaam. It without knowing the future story of Balaam and the things that he gets involved in, at first we're going to see Balaam, and it's going to look as though this prophet is a prophet of God who honors God. And indeed, there are times in his life that he is obedient to God and does listen to God, but in the end, this is a false prophet. And one of the things that makes it interesting is that, or dangerous, I guess would be the word, is that that's even a more dangerous prophet, right? One that at times convinces people that he is a prophet of God and that he will follow God. But then later on, when he does corrupt things, people are more apt to follow him because it seemed as though maybe he did what was right prior. So, in false teaching and in false prophets, sometimes there's going to be truth mixed in with the error, but that can make it harder to discern than the error. So we're going to see more good at the beginning of the story of this prophet, Balaam. But I want you to know that later on, it says in Numbers 31, verse 16, "Behold, these caused the sons of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor, so the plague was among the congregation of the Lord." Well, the plague of Peor comes up in Numbers chapter 25, and basically Israel, and we find out through Numbers 31 that Balaam had something to do with it. Israel is going to start playing the harlot, it's called, with Moab, meaning when they're near the people of Moab, they're going to begin to worship the gods of Moab and also get involved in sexual immorality with the women of Moab, and God is going to be very displeased with Israel in regards to them worshiping false gods and playing the harlot in that way. And what we discover is that Balaam helped orchestrate this. It was actually a way to work against God's people. He helped convince Israel to participate in worship of Balaam and Baal, false god Baal, B-A-A-L, and also to get involved with the Moabites in sexual immorality. And Balaam is mentioned about seven other times in Scripture. In fact, I recently even covered this in Revelation chapter 2 because it condemns Balaam or speaks ill of him. And he's talked about, if you have a study Bible, in Deuteronomy 23, Joshua 13 and 24, Nehemiah 13, Micah 6, 5, 2 Peter, so both in Old and New Testaments, 2 Peter 2, 15 and 16, Jude 11, and then finally in Revelation 2, 14. And never one time is he considered a good prophet. So we're going to see him operate or do some good things at the beginning here. But know that in the end, this is a false prophet who ends up leading Israel astray. So with that, let's pick it up in chapter 22 of Numbers. "Then the sons of Israel journeyed and camped in the plains of Moab, beyond the Jordan opposite Jericho. Now Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites," because, you know, Israel had some military victory while in the desert. So Moab, country region that Israel now is going to be near, was in great fear because of Israel. For they were numerous, and Moab was in dread of the sons of Israel. Moab said to the elders of Midian, "Now this horde will lick up all that is around us as the ox licks up the grass of the field." Basically, just an image of, you know, Israel defeating them. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of Moab at the time. So here's the king of Moab. This is what he's going to do. So he sent messengers to Balaam, the son of Beor, of at Pethor, which is near the river in the land of the sons of his people, to call him, saying, "Behold, a people came out of Egypt," that's Israel. "Behold, they cover the surface of the land, and they are living opposite of me," so they're numerous, and they're living near Moab now. Balak's concerned. "Now, therefore, please come curse this people." So this guy's known as a prophet, Balaam. And Balak, you know, obviously believes in that he has some kind of power. So he wants Balaam, this false prophet, to come and curse Israel. "Now, therefore, please come curse this people for me, since they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I may be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land. For I know that he whom you bless is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed." So somehow this Balaam has created a name for himself, and Balak believes in his power. "So the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the fees for divination." So he's going to get paid to do divination in their hand. "And they came to Balaam and repeated Balak's words to him. And he said to them, 'Spend the night here, and I will bring back to you as the Lord may speak to me.'" So Balaam is going to make it sound like, "Well, I only speak what the Lord speaks." And again, at first, it seems like he is seeking to do what is right. But he's, in the end, his heart is bad, and he's going to do what's wrong. So he says, "Hey, come back, let me seek God, and then come back, and I'll tell you what he says." And the leaders of Moab stayed with Balaam. Then God came to Balaam. So God is seeing, so I want you to picture this. God is seeing this king, Balak, want a false prophet to curse Israel. And God sees this and says, "You know what? I'm going to get involved in this situation. And I'm going to, this Balak king is trying to get Balaam to curse me. I'm going to actually use this false prophet for my good. I'm going to actually use him on my side for a little while." So God even chooses to control at first, but not entirely, this Balaam in order to get Balaam to actually serve God's purposes. So that's interesting that God is even using this false prophet for a little while for his purposes, but ultimately he's going to stray. "Then God came to Balaam and said, 'Who are these men with you?' And Balaam said to God, 'Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent word to me. Behold, there is people who came out of Egypt, and they cover the surface of the land, Israel. Now come curse them for me. Perhaps I may be able to fight against them and drive them out.' God said to Balaam, 'Do not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed.'" And they are. Israel's blessed. So he's like, "Don't go, don't curse them." "So Balaam rose early in the morning and said to Balak's leaders, 'Go back to your land, for the Lord has refused to let me go with you.' The leaders of Moab arose and went to Balak and said, 'Balaam refused to come with us.'" So they went and reported back to the king, "Balak, the false prophet Balaam, won't come." "Then Balak sent some leaders more numerous and more distinguished than the former, and they came to Balaam and said to him, 'Thus says Balak, the son of Zippor, let nothing, I beg you, hinder you from coming to me.'" So Balak the king's begging now for Balaam to come. "For I will indeed honor you richly. I'm going to give you money, and I will do whatever you say. Please come, curse this people for me." Balaam replied to the servants of Balak, "Though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could do nothing, either small or great, contrary to the command of the Lord my God." So this is interesting, and this is how many people could be fooled or deceived in reading this when you don't know the whole story yet, because the rest of the story about Balaam comes later in this book, Numbers, but also later in the Bible. So at right now, because God's involved, he's honoring God. So he's like, "I can't do anything that God doesn't tell me to do. Now, please, you also stay here tonight, and I will find out what else the Lord will speak to me." So God came to Balaam at night and said to him, "If the men have come to call you, rise up and go with them, but only the word which I speak to you, you shall do." So now God's going to allow Balaam to go, but he's going to want Balaam to say what only what God allows Balaam to say. So Balaam arose in the morning and saddled his donkey and went with the leaders of Moab. But God was angry because he was going. Now, it seems as though God permitted him to go, but God also told him initially not to go at all. And so he's not real happy, God is, about this whole thing. And the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him, Balaam. So there's an angel, invisible in nature, that is standing in the way of Balaam in his route to go to Balak. Now he was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. When the donkey saw the angel, so the donkey could see it. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, so this angel had a drawn sword, the donkey turned off from the way and went into the field. But Balaam, not seeing the angel, struck the donkey to turn her back into the way. He's like, why is my donkey not going the way that I said? Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path of the vineyards with a wall on this side and a wall on that side. When the donkey saw that, the angel of the Lord, she pressed herself to the wall and pressed Balaam's foot against the wall. So he struck her again. So, you know, he got kind of pinched, Balaam did, between this wall and his donkey and his leg. And Balaam's not happy. Like, why are you doing this? That hurt. The angel of the Lord, so he struck the donkey. The angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn to the right hand or to the left. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. So the donkey just stops. Balaam has no idea what's going on. So Balaam was angry and struck the donkey with his stick. And the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey and said to Balaam, this is what a story. And so picture this. This Balaam is so frustrated with his donkey. He struck it three times. Now the donkey won't even move. And he's like, what the heck? Get going. He's mad. And the donkey now says to Balaam, what have I done to you that you have struck me these three times? Then Balaam said to the donkey, because you have made a mockery of me. If there had been a sword in my hand, I would have killed you by now. This is what he says to his donkey. The donkey said to Balaam, am I not your donkey on which you have ridden all your life to this day? Have I ever been accustomed to do so to you? Like these things that I've been doing, like sitting and changing courses, going in a different direction. Have I ever done that before? And he answered, Balaam did. He said, no, you haven't done that before. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed all the way to the ground. The angel of the Lord said to him, why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out as an adversary because your way was contrary to me. But the donkey saw me and turned aside from me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, I would surely have killed you just now and let her live. Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I did not know that you were standing in the way against me. Now then, if it is displeasing to you, I will turn back. But the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, go with the men, but you shall speak only the word which I tell you. So Balaam went along with the leaders of Balak. When Balak heard that Balaam was coming, he went out to meet him at the city of Moab, which is at the Arnon border, at the extreme end of the border. Then Balak said to Balaam, did I not urgently send to you to call you? Why did you not come to me? Why did it take so much? Why did it take so long? Am I really unable to honor you? Balak's like, I'm giving you money and all that. So Balaam said to Balak, behold, I have come now to you. Am I able to speak anything at all? The word that God puts in my mouth, that I shall speak. And Balaam went with Balak, and they came to Kiriath Huzoth. Balak sacrificed oxen and sheep and sent some to Balaam and the leaders who were with them. Then it came about in the morning that Balak took Balaam and brought him up to the high places of Baal. So, you know, this false prophet is going up to the high places of a false god called Baal. And he saw from there a portion of the people. And at this place of false worship of Baal on this elevated hill where Balak worshipped false gods, he brings Balaam, and now he can see some of Israel from that high position. It's interesting, this story about the donkey, huh? I think God was trying to get Balaam's attention and make sure that at least at the onset here, what Balaam does, he doesn't, curse Israel. He doesn't want that to happen, and he wants Balaam at this time to not, to only do what God wants him to do. But later on, Balaam's going to end up coming up with his own devices to thwart Israel through sexual immorality and trying to get them to worship Baal, just like he's going up on the hill with Baal now. But I think there's something else interesting to be learned. I mean, we've talked about early on in this chapter that, you got to be careful of false prophets. Is any of us right 100% of the time, all the time? Probably not, right? I mean, we seek to honor the Lord. We seek to honor his scripture, and we seek to do what's right. But we have to be careful about following people that have lots of error in them. You got to be careful to continue to examine whoever you're learning from, including me, anyone you learn from, anyone you listen to, anyone you watch. You've got to compare it to scripture and be careful, because it's easy to be led astray. And sometimes someone kind of like the Antichrist, who is going to do powerful things in the end times, and people are going to be more apt to believe in him then because he shows some kind of sign. And, same thing here with Balaam. He's doing some things right here, and you almost would say, oh, wow, this is a great prophet. Maybe we should follow him. But anyways, so that we got to be careful of. But the other thing that I would say that is really interesting is sometimes in life, when something's just not going right, you're headed in a certain direction, and it seems like there's just obstacles. And what we should be saying is, Lord, guide me. Is the obstacle that's before me here, is the reason this is so difficult because I'm on the wrong path? I'm going in the wrong direction, and maybe this is a direction you don't want me to go. We should be in tune with the Lord and be discerning with him and ask for the guidance of his Holy Spirit, because sometimes God may give us a sign when we're trying to plow ahead in a certain direction and it's not the right direction. It's not the direction he would have us go. These obstacles at times could be signs to say, don't pursue the direction that you're headed. So we should always be looking for the Lord moving and directing us in our lives like he did with this donkey. And anyways, I think that's something for us to spiritually keep in mind. Well, we'll see the rest of this story of Balaam and Balak in the next couple, actually several chapters. And we'll see you again in Numbers 23. God bless you all.